I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
We were just talking about how Ski is going to be forced to like not talk with his hands and be less animated moving forward, and how impossible that is. Because we're all, look, like we as a nation recognize our commander in chief as a huge talker, a hand talker, a gesturer, if you will, and I think we give him shit for it. But frankly, his hand gestures are some of the best you're ever going to see in your life, ever. You know what? Like, we got to give credit where it's due. I know I'm as anti this guy as much as everyone, but like this stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Don't forget the double dong jerk off, right? Just it has it right there.
It's just great. It is. It's good. That's good. You know, like we're gonna, you know, our grandkids, like, you know, 150 years from now or whatever, they're gonna be like, God, remember that widely considered the worst president in the history of the United States of America? But man, that guy had some moves, you know. Man, the stees of this guy, the very stees of this man.
I mean, I can also remember another political figure that was very expressive with his hands. That kind of led to a prominent hand gesture that kind of, you know, solidified the entire movement. I mean, there might be something to
being a
world leader.
I think I know what you're alluding to, and I just find it interesting that that's where your head goes first.
I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. Please.
You wouldn't. I know.
Inform me.
I can't. I'm trying to be stoic here for my audio, my video feed here. I can't do any quick movements. I can't do any hand gestures. Just
I know,
famous stoic. That he's talking about.
See, boom. I remember a guy from Germany giving his heart to his people.
Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. It is June. It is Dads and Grads.
Wasn't he like an Austrian entrepreneur or something?
It was an Austrian artiste.
An artiste? Okay.
Socialism or something?
War hero.
He's a motivational speaker.
Salute the troops.
Yeah, something like that. Hashtag Pride from Booble. Happy Pride Month. It's Dads and Grads. I just got back from Theo's middle school promotion. Don't call it a graduation. And it was cool, man. It's fucking weird. It's fucking weird having a kid who's about to go to high school. It's, you know, like he's of the 2030 graduating class, which is literally 30 years after I graduated high school, which is just weird. It's just
good math right there.
It's just
good math.
Oh, thanks. No, totally on purpose. Yeah. No, it's I'm OCD to the point where it's like, look, we're not having this kid on an odd year, woman.
No, of course
is
not.
What I said. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly why I'm still married, right? Is those kind of conversations being had. Yeah, no. No, it's cool, man.
It came one right after another.
Shut up!
Not at the same time.
Silly woman!
You don't want to come at the same time.
That's how it works. That's the only way you can get pregnant, King. So I don't
know. Well, that's supposed to go with, I thought this was a nuclear family pride month. Isn't that what this is supposed to be? Being pushed.
Nuclear.
Mm-hmm. Nuclear fam.
So I think, and it's a couple reasons I brought that up. One, it's like I'm super happy and proud of my kid being done with middle school. But two, I'm pretty sure one of the Lanning boys was part of that same class. Like there was a Lanning on the list of kids, and I don't know what his kids look like really, but I'm pretty sure one of them was graduated along with my kid, which is crazy. So I guess the Lanning boy's going to Sheldon. I don't know. We'll see.
That would track.
That would track.
Marist. I could see
Marist. That's a good point too. Yep. Yeah, it was weird. One of the kids gave a speech, and it was like, whether you go to Sheldon, Marist, Willamette, or what was the other one? Or North, they said. They said North. And I was like, okay. But like, no Churchill, no South. Like, God help you if you go to South.
Churchill makes sense.
Because it's far, like, for sure. But like, North is far. Like, Willamette's really far. So,
yeah, but both those schools are new.
Yeah.
At least. Both those schools have...
So they're newly moneyed? Is that what you're saying?
Newly moneyed, yes.
Well,
it was like Thurston, you know, like 15 years ago.
Credit where it's due, like, to the eighth grader who, like, knew what she was talking about. Like, the fiscal abilities of the high schools in our area. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I haven't been in a high school in, I don't know, a long time. Yeah. I'm not doing the math. That's it. You're the numbers man here. But
Wait, which one of us is the numbers man?
Well, you're the numbers man, right? You're doing quick math on.
Oh, boy. Okay.
No, but I'm guessing the newer school, I mean, King might be able to attest to this. Like,
yeah.
I'm assuming the cafeteria is better at a newer school.
No, if you're kid, you're
yeah, your you're kid, hanging out in high schools, right, King?
Yeah, no,
you would not. No,
do you ever go to like basketball games? Like,
yes,
in the high school. Well, okay, I mean, yeah, because that's the only time you're ever going to be inside a high school if you're a parent. Basically,
yes, it's just basketball.
Yeah, or like volleyball or whatever. But like, yeah, absolutely. Sure. So that was the weird thing, like. It was weird doing those high school games when I like worked radio, because like I would go into high schools and it's like, oh man, these are weird. Like, these places are weird as a grown up. Like, it's like, now that you have perspective on shit and going through those like what are actually tiny ass hallways, and like, South is small, you guys. Like, we went to South when we were there. It like felt like this big place. South is like a tiny high school, like relative to other ones. Like, if you actually go in the school, it's small. The hallways are tiny. Well, like, it's weird.
Well, a third of the school is dedicated to fucking weirdos that you'd never see for 4 years of high school. So.
Are you talking about IHS or the film department?
Okay. All right.
IH. Well, they kind of meld together a little bit.
That was a separate building as far as I was concerned. Like,
it gave the whole landscape of, oh, look at this massive high school. And
that's true.
Have you guys, the number of people I went technically through 4 years of high school with that I probably never even laid eyes on in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds. And it's hundreds. Hundreds.
Yeah. There were probably 100 kids in your graduating class that you sat down with at the Holt Center or wherever.
Yep.
And were like, I've never seen you before.
Yeah. You look at the picture and you're like, who the fuck are these people? Like,
no, like,
I thought that was a teacher.
Earlier this week, something came up and I was reading something. It was about pairings of seatings for graduations.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember who I sat next to on either side in my graduation, high school graduation. No clue. I honestly don't remember.
I was talking about that with my ex-wife today. Cause like I have the VHS somewhere of my graduation, but I don't remember it at all. The only thing I remember about that whole day was going to Marie Callender's after. That's it.
Ooh, what kind of pie did you get?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Probably not a cream.
Hey,
virgin.
yeah oh yeah. You know that like that trope about football stars and whatnot in high school? It's like absolute bullshit.
Well, I mean in my fairness case. no just in fairness, South Eugene was like, if you played football, you were a gay one.
Soccer like, was the was, cool sport.
Yeah, soccer was is cool. Football was lame. So.
I thought you were going to say, in fairness, you were super fucking ugly. So
No, I'm just, like, there's just, the high school stereotype is if you play football and you start, you know what I mean? Like, sure. that shit rocks.
Letterman, like, yeah.
It's just a school that doesn't care, didn't care, doesn't care.
Also, maybe the times. I mean, this wasn't the 60s where you shove nerds and you smoke heaters and you bang troop.
I gotta be honest, I don't think it's gotten any better. I don't think they care about football now.
No,
it's the culture at the school. Because like if I was a starter at Sheldon or something, it'd probably be different. But you know,
absolutely,
whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. I'm totally happy with my experience. Everything's great. life is good or something. Whatever.
just kind of speaking of like the high school experience. My oldest.
Your kid's a freshman, right? About to be a junior. Junior? No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. God. So he had there was a spring sports seminar or whatever celebration thing at the baseball team. You know, the things every high school in America does. And it was so funny. Like, just see the baseball coach is like, hey, here's the freshman team, here's the JV team, here's the varsity team. You know, I'm making up the numbers, but here's two guys on freshman, four guys on JV, four guys on varsity that made the honor roll, which is like, I think it's like 3.7 or higher, right? And so they're going and the coach is talking. He's like, and you and you and you and you're doing great, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he looks at this guy who's not on the stage for academic achievement. And he's like, and you're a junior. You're a 3-year letter winner, 3-time all league, 2-time second all state, and 2-time pitcher of the year in the league, whatever. And if you had grades even halfway like these kids, you'd have a college scholarship already, but you don't. Everyone's like, oh,
holy shit.
Holy shit. God damn. Kid just ate it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Something tells me he's had that conversation before. That's wild.
I'm sure he's had it a million times with the kid.
That's wild. But putting him on blast.
Like, whoa. Woo. That was an aggressive shout out in front of every parent. Like, whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience. So it's fucking Spanish class, man. Fucking Spanish class. I tell you what, I have been trying to learn Spanish for like 20 plus years at this point, and I got dual now. It sort of works, but you try to speak to me, you speak sentences in Spanish to me, and it's not.
You got to go immerse yourself in Espanol.
KSSO.
Bolígrafo. Mi hermano.
La pluma?
Pluma? La pluma?
That's a pen, bro. Pluma?
Pluma? Pluma?
De que color es?
Oh, boy. Watch yourself, Ski.
I think it's fine if you throw the enye on it. It's negro. You've got an enye.
Very good.
Not an enye, but like, that's what you gotta do. What you're saying.
You gotta force it.
It's an R.
R.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right. More your speed. Day K Calor S.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Un superior color.
That color doesn't run.
Ooh.
All right. Oh, well, change the subject. Hey, yeah, so let's see. Where should I start? Let's do a quick intro. We have a movie podcast on Sunday, and I wanted to give you that up front. It is my movie this week, and I chose the third in what is called the Twisted Childhood Universe, the TCU, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, which is currently on the cock. So, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare on Peacock. Watch that. Let's do us talk about it on Sunday. Hey, you got Blood and Honey 1, you got Blood and Honey 2, and then you got Peter Pan, and then you got Bambi. So Bambi's next, and then there's another one after that, right? What was it? Ski, you said it the other day. What was the one you said that like isn't quite
Pinocchio?
Pinocchio. It's not quite out yet. That like comes out this year or whatever.
Watching that movie made me feel like I like became Donald Trump. I just had nothing but like retribution I want to just enact on you of on just me. Like on you. Yes. For making me watch that. And it will come and it will be swift and it will be bad. So
yeah,
I bet it will.
Yo,
I bet it will, man. Whoa. Woof. Yeah. That, why are we chonking so bad? This. I wish there was. I don't know why we're chonking so bad. I apologize.
Hopefully, do not come.
Yeah. Hopefully, the audio is still working fine. But like, yeah, video sucks right now. Sorry. Don't know why. Yeah. No. It. I mean, it's one of those deals where like we gotta watch him. Like we gotta do our job. We're reporting to the people about these things. Bad and Honey 1 and 2. We gotta do Peter Pan. We got Pinocchio. Got to do Bambi. Like
we did Bambi, didn't we?
No.
Mm-mm. I think so, yeah.
We did.
There's no way I just watched that Bambi on my own free.
I think you might have.
I think you might have.
Did I really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Sweet Jesus.
Whoa.
Wow. What? How?
This
like,
guy,
what was
this guy is just immersed in the universe.
My brain is exploding. The first time you said it, I was like, oh, well, it's a forgettable movie. So maybe you forgot, but. Clearly, I'm in the wrong, and I just watched that on my own free will.
What was the milligram?
I don't remember.
I was going to say, did you have a fever dream that you thought you watched?
No, I watched it. I watched it because, yeah, on Sunday,
prepping for Sunday. Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. But when I eventually do, I think the wife told me this movie sucks, and I thought the Bambi movie sucked. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's something. So watch to us talk about it. Then you'll be in on the conversation.
But the Bambi one is insane, too.
Okay. So. All right, well, we got to watch it then. I mean, that's – you already have, so Ski and I have to, and then we'll talk
The eyes glow. It's just
the eyes glow.
I'm pretty sure he's like part robotics. Bambi. Would Bambi a girl? I don't know. Actually,
yes.
Yeah. Is it a fawn? Yeah. A doe?
Fawn.
A deer?
A doe?
Female deer? I don't know.
Doe. A ray of sun?
Yeah. Ray of golden sun.
A fawn.
A name I call
myself.
Yeah. Anyway. Into the buzz balls, says Swoosh, about you, King.
No buzz balls.
Do you have them?
No.
That was discussed. So we did have a subplot coming into the podcast today where there are World Cup flavored buzz balls. And as your number one podcast reporter of buzz ball flavors, fancy buzz ball flavors, out of the norm buzz ball, seasonal buzz ball flavors, the plan was to do some taste tests on this podcast tonight, but King lives next to the only store in town that has them, apparently, because I went to Albertsons and Fred Meyer next to my house. They did not have anything, and that was the extent of how much work I was going to do trying to find them. So
I was going to do a buzzball drop at your guys' house today. I went to an Albertsons.
Oh, man.
And the World Cup aisle that was there last week is now just graduation. There was no. Oh,
wow. They were gone that quick.
They were gone that quick.
Wow. So they might have been at those stores. They just took them out.
They're gone.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe they were so good they ran out of stock.
Yes. I'm sure that's the case. But yeah, this whole section that was, all World Cup is now just dads and grads type stuff. So,
yeah.
Which honestly could
the
just
moment
be, could
the
be
moment
buzzball.
May have passed
well,
us.
Still.
No, there was none. There was none.
Yeah, that's
no special flavored graduation buzz balls.
There's no buzz balls. Period.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I was disappointed.
Well, if I come across in my travels in the next week, I will get some myself, and we can try that next week or something.
So I do on the buzz ball front.
Yeah.
Has anyone in here had a buzz ball in a different state?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. So are you saying you don't think they sell them outside of Oregon? Because they do.
No, they're better outside of Oregon because they actually put vodka in them in real states, and we just get the wine liqueur versions of them. That's why they're so
bullshit. Is that true?
That's why they're so nasty here.
Fuck. No way.
Because it's like the cinnamon drink, the cinnamon booze.
Oh, Fireball?
Fireball. Yeah, you go to like a dairy mart and there's Fireball, but it's like grape wine. It's not actually like real booze. Yeah.
That is false advertising.
Yeah.
Booble said going to be in Nevada in August, so he'll report. Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Do it, man. Yeah.
Do it. Just have one. I had one in California in like December. It's crisper than they are in the state of Oregon.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, everything in California is, but. Yeah. Okay. Sports.
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 By the way, did you guys watch that enormous comeback, that historic comeback last night?
I don't come. Don't come.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Did you ski? Did you watch that comeback? What did you think about? I mean, like, it's kind of crazy that the Nationals were up. Mm-hmm. 9-1 in the eighth.
Yeah.
And the Giants came back to win 11-10. What did you think about the Nationals' pitching decisions in the bottom of the eighth?
Yeah, break them down.
Poor would be my thought process on it.
Porous. Yeah.
Porous.
Well, break them down, man. Like, I mean, clearly, I mean, you can't. That's the thing about the Giants, right? I mean, so they were like 0-30. In that scenario going into that game, but still the Giants, guys, like they still got ballers and we're talking about Major League Baseball. And if you're going to underestimate anybody, you're going to get your ass handed to you like that. You're going to get caught. You're going to get got. Nationals.
Nats.
It's a damn shame. I mean, it's not a damn shame. I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, America was like completely gripped by that comeback last night. I know.
I heard rumblings there was a basketball game as well, but
I don't know. What game was that?
That's a WNBA game, I guess.
Oh,
yeah, because Asia's in Portland. Yeah, so
Yeah. Caitlin Clark, she's really struggling from the field.
And boy, she complains a lot, you guys. Have you noticed that?
She is a complainer. She is a complainer.
Whiner, like a grade A whiner. So.
Did you see? Yeah, and actually, last night, I believe it was the same thing. Angel Reese went back to Chicago. Now that she's a member of the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah, the Dream.
The Dream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Atlanta Dream is a name if you want to do a joke. You don't forget because that just makes you seem racist because it's the Martin Luther King thing. I have a dream and all that. So guys out there, if you want to do a WNBA joke, always remember the name of the Atlanta Dream.
Yep.
Because that's
basically writes itself. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a.
I saw a stat through 50 games, Angel Reese has more rebounds than anyone other than Shaquille O'Neal through their first 50 games. Pretty cool stat.
Best basketball player ever, probably.
Pretty sick stat.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, oh, we're reaching pretty deep on that one.
Yeah. I mean, no.
Yeah.
No. I think it's all legit. I don't think there's any argument that she is.
I don't.
She's both influential, like on and off the court, and she bangs the boards. Elite. Like, there's no argument here. But one of the best female basketball players, maybe, I mean, in the discussion, one of the top 50 basketball players ever? Just saying.
I wonder if those guys are still betting.
Bump Scotty off the list. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if those guys are still betting Angel Reese first field goal attempt miss.
I bet. Yeah.
It was a hell of a run they were going on with that.
They made so much money. She won them so much money. That's awesome.
See? She's trying to contribute to the country by bricking just wide open layups.
Yeah, the me bounds. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Is that it for sports? I guess we could talk like.
I do have a Knicks question. Did you guys watch the game last night?
Real quick, I had a work email, and it's from sort of like a person who oversees sort of a bigger group that I work with, based in New York, and they were like, "My dog just shit in my house." Dude, I'll kick your ass. It smells like shit. Sorry. I got sidetracked. That's a strong smell, and he's staring at me. It smells like Jinx. At least it smells healthy, you know? Like, okay. Sorry. Okay, sidetracked. I got an email. So they're based in New York, and he was like, yeah, we're still, he sent me the email. I was like, yeah, we're still all recovering from last night's craziness and blah, blah, blah. And I literally replied with bing bong. And that was entire email. Bing bong.
Bing bong.
And he liked it was a risk because I didn't really know him like that. But, right. But he was there. He was with me. He sent me back a picture of a Knicks fan, like with like a Jersey Knicks fan, you know, one of those, and like doing like the It's great.
That's great.
That was great. Sorry.
The funnier thing would have been well, what happened in New York last night? I don't know.
Yeah. Didn't hear about
something
it.
Happened?
I didn't hear about it.
Huh. Yeah. But he doesn't know me like that, so I don't think he probably would have been serious. He would probably would have thought I was serious. Cuz we're in Argon.
The funny thing about the Knicks comeback, and you know, like, it's duh. It's mathematically historic.
Historical.
Mm-hmm. No shit. But when I was watching the game, obviously at halftime I was like, a 27-point halftime lead. That's crazy. Like, the Spurs aren't going to shoot that well, but it's 27 points, you know. If they score 40 points in the second half, they win. But they knocked that lead down so quick. Like, yeah, I think
it was
down
to 15 real quick, at least.
Yeah, it was down. Yeah, it was all of a sudden, because I think it was like 76-49 at halftime. Mm-hmm. And then with like 7 minutes left, it was 81-55. And I'm like, that's not a big lead at this point. Like, a 16-point lead or whatever is nothing in the NBA
so
right now.
So much time. Yeah.
So I wasn't at, like, in mid-third quarter, I wasn't like, oh, I think the Knicks are going to win. But I was like, this is a game now. Like, this is not out of control, like out of reach, where 15, 20 years ago, it probably was, because you weren't just going to have random guys hitting, you know, whoever the equivalent of Landry Shamet was. In 2000, and even like 11 wasn't going to hit threes like that in the second half. Like, it was crazy, but I'm hearing people say it's like the most improbable comeback ever. And I'm like, well, no, it was sick as hell. And it was a total collapse. Like, duh. But you could see the seeds were there. Like,
yeah.
The Spurs aren't that guy. Like, you're not that guy, pal. No lead. Like, you have Wemby. Yes, you do. You have Fox. Yes, you do. But, like, you know what? I mean, that is not. So it's not Steph and Clay, you know. It's not
right.
Hey,
right.
Like, hey, Steph and Clay get a 25-point lead. That shit is safe. Like, there's no fucking way.
It also helps having like a Steve Kerr level coach.
Yes.
If a seasoned coach is not letting that get out of hand that quick in the start of the second.
And I'll say this too: like, if your best player is a big, period, your lead is not safe.
You can feed him down low. You can just feed him down low, slow the game down.
That's
try to
what
get
they
the
should
line.
Have done.
I mean,
probably
if that's,
slow the game would, down, but
yeah,
still,
like, what was this? What was the stat that the Spurs shot 8 straight threes in the third quarter? That's insane.
Man.
And I get it. You're up by 20 something. Like, kind of get it. But that's crazy.
Super.
I mean, the game rocked. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. But like when people are saying it's like the most improbable thing ever, I'm like, yeah, you could kind of see it coming. The Spurs have done this pretty much 3 times now where, and obviously it wasn't a 29 point lead in any of those other ones, but you're like, oh, the Spurs look like the better team. Then all of a sudden they're just,
well, they also could have, I think they could have almost broke the Knicks back by letting, when they took the lead, when the Knicks finally took the lead with was like a minute left in the fourth quarter for the first time. And they go down, and I think Wemby hits a jumper to retake the lead right away. If they hold on and win that game, that's kind of demoralizing after coming back from 29. If they would have, and they got lucky. I mean, Brunson took one of the worst shots I've ever seen taken with enough time to get a better shot. I mean, Wemby stayed on him and contested. He got lucky that bounced straight back off the rim for someone to go put it in. Otherwise,
and he wasn't checked, and they double teamed him, which left him open to run the lane.
He could pass it right back to OG for a wide open three.
See, and I think that last like 20 seconds of the game or whatever, like I always have this feeling that you always guard the guy who's inbounding. I don't understand when teams like from the mid court and front court always. I don't understand why teams don't put someone guarding the inbound. If it's at the backcourt and there's 2 seconds left, okay, you have someone like roaming like a true free safety. Mm. But mid and front, it doesn't work like that. You got to put someone guarding, and it showed at the last play because if Cat doesn't tip that ball, that's Dylan Harper catches it in stride, and that's a layup, and they win. Like the fact that guys are still not putting people on the inbounder, I do not understand in that situation.
Again, I think it's younger coaches. I think because watching that, I remember Oklahoma City in like late game stuff would put like Hartenstein on the inbounds, and he's always put a big on an inbounds, make it tough to pass it in.
It's insane not to.
It's
like
weird not
like
to.
And we're going back like 40 years at this point.
At the very least, you force him to throw it in the backcourt, right? That's the goal. Like
away from the hoop.
Simple.
But yeah, like if Christian Laettner beats you on a 75-foot pass, whatever. Yeah. But if it's mid and front, you have to have someone
you can control these things. Like,
it's insane.
It's weird.
And when I noticed they didn't, it's not like I was like, I know OG is gonna crash the boards, but I saw it. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, you're just making everything easy. And Brunson, it was a crazy collapse. It just was a crazy collapse, but that's the NBA now. Like, those collapses aren't.
Well, that's like you said, that's what happens when teams are just chucking threes.
Right.
Like they were shooting like 80% in the first half, and then you go cold, and now it lets the other team back in every time.
Right. Like again, this is an old man talking point, but like Blazers, Lakers, game 7, 2000 Western Conference Finals, 17 point lead in the fourth quarter. Back then, that was safe. That was, like, who is the random guy who it wasn't Derek Fisher, Brian Shaw hitting 2 threes in the fourth was like biblical back then.
Well, that's the thing. There's five of them on the court now that can make three. It's different than just lock down Kobe, lock down Fisher, make him earn 2 points at a time on you. That was kind of all you had to do.
Right.
Yeah, Swoosh and Booble first, both mentioned Wemby taking three threes on one possession, which, he's great, best player probably right now, but do you, like, not only in that situation do you not want that happening, but, like, him, you don't want that happening. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, so you have, three chances at a basket, and that's, you consider that the best shot three times? Like, that's what you get? Like, guys,
I mean, Honestly, the best play is the old NBA hang time play when you have George Mirosan on. You have the other guy shoot, and you send the 7-7 guy to go clean up the glass. Yeah. I would want Wemby around the hoop all the time.
Remember who you are. Yeah. You're 7-6 or whatever, dude. Like
in the great words of Mufasa.
Yeah.
Remember who you are.
Sounds a little bit like Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
Remember who you are, Simba.
Well, you know.
Close.
Yeah. Mufasa voice is pretty famous, you know. Yeah. Like I can't James quite Earl get Jones, to that.
Robert Loggia.
I can't quite drop to that.
Well, that was what? It was that Jeremy Irons? Is that who?
He was Scar.
Mufasa was.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Both tough voices to get, but
yeah. Great voices, by the way. Go figure.
And then they had Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Simba.
Yeah. And then,
Means no worries.
Fuck off. Hakuna Matata, fuck you. My dad just died, you fucking pricks. Yeah. What do you mean no worries for the rest of my days? Literally, my whole life is worries, bro.
I'm a fucking orphan, guy.
I'm an orphan, and I'm supposed to be king now. Like,
hey, eat a grub. That'll
I don't fucking like grubs. I'm a lion. I eat fucking animals, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you? You guys suck. You know that? God.
Was Nathan Lane the name of? So it was basically just like the bird cage was.
Yeah,
so
pretty much. Yes. Timon and Pumbaa is more or less. Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Other than the Robin Williams going so over the top gay bird cage.
Yes.
Yes.
Different times.
He even did it in the shoulders. It was crazy how gay he was.
He got immersed.
Do you guys ever see Happy Feet, the penguin one? The animated penguin movie?
I have seen Happy Feet.
He played like the Spanish flavor dolphin, or not dolphin, penguin. Robin Williams did. It was like, oh boy. I love it. Robin Williams, as far as I'm concerned, can do no wrong. I don't think he'd probably do that voice nowadays. But
did he give like a lisp?
I don't think he can. To be honest.
It was sort of like effeminate Spanish voice too. So it was like, you know what it sounds like. You can picture
that's.
And by the way, watch Happy Feet. Like that movie's good. Like it's actually a good movie. So, recommend. That's my recommendation. This podcast. Go watch Happy Feet. I can't speak for the second one. I think they made a second one, but whatever. I think Elijah Wood's like the main penguin or something. It's about penguins tap dancing, you guys.
It is.
The penguin tap dances because he can't sing. And all penguins, as you know, famously amazing singers. And this one penguin, he just can't do it. He goes, and he has to dance, and so he tap dances.
So he just slaps his feet and goes like this with his little tiny penguin arms.
Yep. And it's the whole movie. It's like winning back the love of the what's a group of penguins called? I don't know. They're
Paquin.
Paquins.
An Anna Paquin.
Is it a Koresh?
A David Koresh. It might as well be, as far as I'm concerned.
I will say, I don't think you could dance on those ice caps quite as fervently as they did back then. Just all of a sudden disappear yourself right into the ocean.
That's what the sequel's about. He starts dancing and then quickly dies.
Wait a minute, global warming is kind of a motherfucker.
That's a TCU version, the Twisted Childhood Universe version.
He starts slapping his feet on the ice and he's like, wait, there's puddles now.
What's that sound?
What? Yeah. There was never a puddle before. My father never talked about puddles on the ice cap. My grandfather never talked about puddles on the ice cap. Mm-hmm. And now we're finding mysterious lakes on the ice cap.
And there's like underneath and off to the side, you see like the sea lions just waiting for the holes to open.
There's an orca sitting there going like this.
Oh, yeah.
Ah. Oh, the amount of blood. Oh, the amount of blood. And that's what happens. He's tap dancing, and then a hole opens, sinks down, and then all you see is like the red rise to the top of the water. Man, we should write this. You guys want to write it?
Happy Feet, you three should be in that like whole that universe you were talking about.
Yeah, the TCU. Yeah.
The TCU. Yeah.
No, dude, we could write this, guys. Like, I don't think it's that difficult.
Well, yeah, these movies were written by, at best, freshman high school level writing for these movies. So,
because Happy Feet would have to come back.
Yeah.
As Happy Foot, right?
Yeah.
And he's cursed, and he's like taking vengeance on his own.
He only has one foot.
He sinks into the ice cap, and you see the blood, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And then they go to another scene, and then it kind of goes back in the darkness of night. It's still.
Well,
it's cold. There's a nice fog bank going through the screen, and you just see one penguin arm. Whack. And you're like, oh, shit. And he comes out and he looks like he was dipped in poison, like in a Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And he just comes out, but he's just got the one, we know he's Happy Foot.
Yeah.
But what if
it's the one, just the one foot, but the other foot, he's like fashioned into a weapon. Right. So it's not a peg or anything like that. It's actually like a hook or a sword or something like
when
that.
When he was down there, he killed a walrus and took one of its tusks, shaved it down under the water. And jabbed it into his leg that the orc ate.
That's the follow-up scene, because obviously the opening one is like him losing it, but like the follow-up scene is him like in the cave, like darkness, right? Open on outside dark cave, slow zoom in, and cut to the light of a fire going up to a penguin face, and you hear the sounds of a struggling and dying walrus off to the side, and the penguin like shaving down the tusk, and fashioning it, getting it sharp, making sure it's sharp, putting it in the fire, and then attaching it to the nub, and then that's his.
I feel like you guys missed an easy of, instead of Happy Feet, Angry Feet, and he just stomps and he dances on there to death.
Our idea is so much better, Steve. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, I like you, man.
You need a better name to go. It's Angry Feet.
It's just
Happy Foot.
It's just
Happy Foot.
Happy Foot.
That's it.
Happy Foot.
One
and
foot.
Every
it's
time
perfect.
He comes, every time he enters a scene, you hear the scraping on the ice bank of that sharpened tusk.
He drags it behind him. Yeah, exactly that.
And everyone's looking. Oh, shit. And it's the darkness.
Even better.
We just wrote a movie.
Even better. He sort of like uses the wings too to like walk too. So it's almost like a crawl. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And his like when you see him up close, like the wings are like worn down and they're
calloused. Nasty.
Yeah.
Well, so the movie's got to be him killing humans somehow. Is it like an Arctic explorers out there trying to
save the penguins?
To save the penguins. And
exactly.
He doesn't want that
business anymore. Mm-hmm. And at some point, someone is going to go. Right when he's taking a tusk at a scientist's head, they're gonna go, Happy Foot.
He's a legend.
I feed you by hand.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
You juxtapose it. Is he gonna dance for us?
you gotta juxtapose it with the other happy penguins. Like, oh, look at these fun, happy penguins. Oh, look at them frolicking and dancing. And then, here comes.
Yeah. Or he's unhappy, turned them.
Swoosh, unhappy foot.
Unhappy foot.
Unhappy foot. Yeah.
Literally, we just wrote a movie. Like, I'm glad we're recording this. I'm going to release, like, it's on Twitch. I'm going to release it
somehow
on YouTube. That's trademark. This idea is trademarked. So
we got to figure out a way, because we're riffing on, you know, global warming and climate change. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out a way for Al Gore to do a cameo.
I was going to say Greta Thunberg.
Ooh, maybe Thunberg. Maybe we name a character close to Greta Thunberg. Yeah. Like,
did she get stabbed with the tusk?
Like Breda Harpberg or something like that. I don't know. I'm not the name guy. Ski, you can be the name guy.
Yeah, we'll come.
Because clearly you're not the idea guy here. Sorry, Ski. No. Oh, that was great.
Too bad I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this conversation. I'm getting paid anyway.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right. Yep.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel as Foot. I am Foot.
I am Foot.
Greta Thunberg.
Oh, it's perfect. Mm. God damn it.
I don't think you go Greta. You got it like.
Yeah.
But great, something close.
Like great. No. Because like I'm thinking like great, like, you know, like,
yeah,
We'll workshop it. We got time.
Yeah, this is just preliminary fucking
cool,
ideas
cool thing
here.
About these movies, though, is they get made in like 3 months. So, you know,
for like $50,000.
We got the idea. Let's get it to that. Let's get it to that Scott Chambers guy. And we're set, guys. Like, by the way, I'm going to talk about it on Sunday. But like this Scott Chambers dude is like one of the most prolific writer, director, actors ever. Like, look at his, but they're all dog shit, you know, but yeah, like, look at his IMDb. It's incredible. The movies that he has written.
He's a volume shooter. He's just a volume shooter. Only one's got a hit.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, if this is what he does, I'm pretty sure he just
the Jalen Brunson, you know,
the
story,
this season is hitting. That's
the story exists. And he's just like, I can tweak this. Like, let's make it evil. Fuck it. Here you go.
No, see,
it was like,
I want more of a budget though. I want like Cocaine Bear level budget, not the trash.
We got to put in work and we got to get Elizabeth Banks. That's it.
Yes.
Yep. You got to get a name to direct it. Easily done. Yeah.
Sydney. Question. Swoosh. Can we get Sydney Sweeney to pop her cans out in a gratuitous cameo? Probably.
Can we afford her?
Probably.
No.
I mean, Euphoria is done, right?
Yes.
Yes.
She might need a paycheck coming in here in the next year. Well,
maybe
I'm not sure what
maybe
else
she plays
get.
Thunberg, you know, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Poker the Star. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boob Bird.
A24 on board. Now that's the kind of budget I'm talking about. And A24, those pesky small time A24 movies will get like $50 million to make this.
Yes, they sure will. Yes, they sure will. By the way, did you see, That was one of the fun parts about the game last night is like watching the shot be made and then seeing the courtside people celebrate. It's so you had Nas, Tracy Morgan, Ben Stiller, Taylor Swift, Mariska Hargitay, Chris Maloney, and then by the way, behind them, Sydney Sweeney, which was awesome.
I just want to give a shout out to a Jed's party for pointing out to me last night on Twitter that Raymond Felton got a seat on Knicks Legends.
Yeah, I saw Felton.
Raymond Felton, Knicks Legend Row. What's going on?
I think I saw Marcus Camby. I think that might have been game 3.
Camby was there in game 3 for sure. Yeah.
He was. Yep. Yeah.
No, but just Raymond Felton, come on. Like, we're doing too much.
Bubble says Herb Street was next to the Spurs bench.
He was.
Yeah. He's not going to be on next year's college football game, which was sort of big. By the way, like, I guess we could talk about that real quick, like EA announced, I should say the Saudis announced a bunch of changes to next year's college football video game.
they're not spending money. They're pulling all their money out of shit.
Out of what?
Out of all their like American like investment things that they, you know, you blank check something and then all of a sudden you start getting bombed and losing a bunch of money. You're like, oh, maybe we should hold on to some of these billions of dollars and not, you know, give.
Are you saying
Phil Mickelson the market $100 million?
The market is not stable. Is that what you're saying, Ski?
It's an unstable region currently. I'm not sure if you've seen the news, Braga. The region.
I do love that. Like, I saw an interview yesterday with Commander in Queef, and he was like, they were talking to him about Iran, and he was like, I don't know if you know this. I don't think anybody knows this because I haven't told anybody, but I'm going to tell you right now. We've just been taking oil out of there, like just taking barrels of oil, lots and lots of oil. So the inflation is going to go down, and we're taking, because we're taking all this oil. So that's going to fix everything. He's like, bro, you're not supposed to say that part out loud. Like, what happened to lying to motherfuckers? Like,
there's not the smartest group of people running shit.
Why are you saying that to the news people? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. All right. Fuck.
You just call them fake news and it goes away.
Remember when that would have mattered?
I didn't say that. No. I didn't say that. You don't got proof. Oh, I said that to you on air? No, you're lying.
On camera?
No.
Yeah, it's not
true.
No. AI. Yeah, AI. Not real.
If I yell loud enough and then walk away, it didn't happen. Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. My Trump was a bit white Obama. So I don't know. I didn't commit to the Trump impersonation when I was saying it. So apologies. All right. Any other sports? So Ducks lost to Texas in the Super Reach, which I think we all saw coming. It is a tale as old as time, Oregon baseball. They have a ceiling, guys. They just do. We can be excited and happy and support the program and the team and, you know, all this stuff, but they're not going to win a national championship, and they're not going to go to the College World Series. It's just not going to happen unless there is a big change in, like, investment or something like that. And that's not going to happen because baseball's not a priority, and it never will be, and it probably shouldn't be. So, lightning in a bottle, cool, like fun. I love it. I feel bad for Nutian because he's like the most diehard. He's the most diehard Oregon fan, period, that I know. So, like, and the guy travels to baseball games and shit. Like, that is incredible. And I feel bad because he's going to get his heart broken. I don't want to see people I like get their heart broken over and over again, but it's like, that is it. It's the hardball conundrum. If you're an Oregon fan, it's Oregon and softball. Like, it's just, they have a ceiling. It sucks because they're fun. Like, the regionals are fun. Like, watching them, like, beat random teams who travel to Eugene regionals, they're good enough for that, is fun. But they're not. An SEC team, they're not a period. They're just not an SEC team. And
well, like the thing about that one that pissed me off was, I'm not even gonna ask Ski because Ski doesn't watch them. But when they brought in the closer,
yeah,
with two outs in the eighth,
it sucked.
After the guy they brought in to start the eighth got two outs on eight pitches.
It sucked.
I went,
was the Nationals manager all of a sudden managing the Ducks instead of Wazzle?
I was like, I'm not saying they're going to lose this game because of how the rules are. They were always going to bat last. They were the home team that game. But I was like, they're at least giving up. This game is at least getting tied, or they're going down in this inning with two outs and no one. It was just automatic. And then you watch his first couple pitches from Bell and you were like, oh, what the fuck?
Why?
Dude.
Yeah.
And he's not a real closer. And that, again, that makes the decision even worse.
Texas has a real closer.
Texas had a real closer. Shit. True freshman.
Shit.
And when he was warming up in the pen, you were like,
does he pump Ched?
That guy shoves.
And had a fat fucking ass.
Yep.
He got like five extra miles just on that right butt cheek.
That's how you scout baseball players.
Oof. He also,
Oregon's closer is like a skinny 6'6" guy, and you're like, whose butt is like this?
Yep.
And I was like, and the funniest thing was when he came in, they go, well, yeah. Again, this is with no one out, or two men out and no one on, and the Ducks lead. Yeah, well, you look at those saves, but There's a reason he has six losses and a 6 point something ERA. And sure as shit. Yeah, there was. Sure. And the thing, and again, he did it. Woz did this with him against the UCLA in the regular season finale like 3 or 4 weeks ago now at this point. Brought him in with like a four-run lead, and he gagged it all up. And in that game, they were talking about when they bring him in mid-inning, he never does well. Never. This is the Oregon radio team saying, ooh, when Bell comes in, you know, mid-inning, it's never well. And it's not well. What are you doing, Woz? What were you doing? It made no sense.
It was crazy. And by the way, like the stark contrast between the two closers too. Like you mentioned the butt, but like Oregon's closer, I don't think he can grow facial hair. And the Texas,
he's like a fifth year senior, and the Texas guy is a true freshman.
True freshman. I remember they said it during the broadcast. Like he has had a beard since he was like 13 or something like that.
They said that. Yeah.
He's a fucking beast, dude. He's gonna be pitching at a higher level someday soon, probably. But again, that's where you see it. That's where you see the difference. Like that is Texas. That is like blue blood baseball program that is, you know, they hadn't won in a while. That was sort of like the whole thing for them this year. They hadn't won in a while, and
it was a 3 year drought. They're finally, that they had been home.
Exactly. Yeah. Right?
And it was their longest in program history.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure it was talked about. Like, yeah, exactly. 3 years. Shit. Yep.
3 years.
Is that less than 30?
I think so. All right. Yeah.
I don't know. You were the one hanging out with Joji and Sante a couple of weeks ago. So you tell me.
Rubbing elbows with Joey G.
The savior of Oregon baseball.
In the star at PK. Yeah,
literally literally that man is the reason Oregon has baseball right now. Like we forget
kinda,
that.
Yeah.
He was like associate AD for a while, and literally is the reason Oregon has baseball. He's it. Like, otherwise they don't. It's so weird to think about. The guy who used to be on fucking like OSN. The guy who was on
KMTR 16.
Yep. Yep.
The guy who was in the booth with Anthony Newman when the Duck got suspended. Remember that? And the Duck like went up into their booth and was like hiding out. Remember the Duck got suspended for like teabagging the Houston mascot.
The Houston Cougar.
Yeah. by the way, that Houston game sucked. Like, if you were actually there,
like, it was 1,000 degrees.
1,000 fucking degrees.
And the first half was terrible.
It was over.
I went to that game.
I did too. Like Dennis Dixon scored like an 80-yard touchdown on the first play. The game was like over. There was no reason to be there like after very early in the game. And it was 110 fucking degrees. It was brutal. Like, look at me. I ain't made for that. Like, are you kidding me? I should have left, but I was young and dumb. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Young. It was like
we got to see Kevin Cobb that day. I don't remember who the Houston quarterback was then, but
yeah.
2007. Maybe it was Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, somebody look that shit up. Oregon.
It probably was Kevin Cobb.
Oregon, Houston, tell us who the quarterbacks were. We know Dixon was one, but
yeah. The Cougars could be a nasty matchup because they got Kevin Cobb.
Seahawks legend, right? Or Packers legend?
The Eagles. I think he led. Yeah, I think he won like two games to the Eagles. People were like, this is Kevin Cobb guy.
Wasn't it the Packers? Or the
No.
Who signed
this
him?
This is Kevin Cobb spelled like K-O-L-B.
K-O-L-B, yeah.
Cole. Okay. Yeah, Kevin Cobb.
Case Keenum, King. Case Keenum.
Even better. Case Keenum. Better.
Oh, baby. Even better. What a game. Damn. What a game in Autzen Stadium. You kidding me?
Whoa.
Let's go.
It was.
Let's go. All right. Anything else? We could talk Sorsby. You got any takes on the Sorsby situation?
I think we've talked about it enough.
Little.
More about the other schools now is kind of the.
Yeah. So what
they're
happened
not
to story
do
lead?
Anything. They're not going to do anything. He's going to play. It is what it is. I. My, I think it's insanely ballsy for a judge to just so rewind a little bit to the winter. Remember the Alabama guy?
I agree.
Something Bediako, Kevin Bediako. I'm blanking on his name, but he played in the G League for years. Wasn't good. Never, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then enrolled at Alabama and he got an injunction. And then finally it went to a judge and the judge was like, I'm not opening this box. Mm-hmm. Where everyone who didn't actually play a certain amount of games in the NBA but played it, NBA, G League, can come back. I'm not opening that Pandora's box. This judge was just like, you want to know what? I'm just opening Pandora's box. If you want to bet on your own team, that's cool. Yeah. You want to bet unders? You want to bet unders on a guy at your position that beat you out multiple times? Okay. Opening that box. That's what I just being that judge is kind of crazy.
Wild.
To me.
Wild. This is all the thing for
them to win like 8 games next year too. Like they're not contenders.
Well, the Big 12 does suck. So I mean,
yeah.
Well, let's say contenders to win a championship
is spending out the ass right now. So yeah, it's possible. I think my take on this is, this case, along with the Cal and Stanford kids who are suing the NCAA for limiting the amount of NIL kids can get. Mm-hmm. And I think this is only possible because there is no collective bargaining whatsoever. There are no rules. Like that's the problem, is there is nothing explicitly stating you can't bet on games.
But NCAA could just make up something.
They can't.
To suspend him and not let him play.
That's the thing. Without.
They tried.
That's the thing. Without a collective bargaining agreement, without something that the players agree to, they agree to, lawyers are involved, they're cut off at the knees, dude. They have no say in any of this shit anymore. And until they do, like, I don't know how it's going to happen. Like, truly, I have no idea how that's going to happen at this point. Like, collective bargaining with, like, thousands of athletes. I don't know how that happens. But without it, without some sort of structure that is, like, legally binding and agreed upon by everybody, this shit's going to keep happening. And they're going to keep getting to do whatever the fuck they want. Like, what?
Is this what's going to lead to maybe the Big Ten and SEC leaving the NCAA and
God,
there has to be some sort of thing that brings them together.
The most vocal people were Big Ten and SEC presidents, coaches, whoever was their mouthpiece for it. That's who I saw were the ones saying, "Hey, we're not going to schedule anything with Texas Tech."
Yeah,
you know, and if like they're the ones that had the big problem. And you know what? Hilarious coming from you here in Georgia talking about shit like that. It's like, yeah, you have like 5 players a year get popped for driving like 100 miles an hour and you let them play. But yeah,
that's all on them. Like Georgia's exactly. The ones doing the suspending. Like it's not the NCAA. they could decide to just be like, you know what? Fuck you.
What do they need the NCAA for?
We're paying this guy $5 million a year. He's going to fucking play football. Like, if he's not in prison and he's still going to class, he's going to play football. Like, you're not going to tell me no. Like, who's going to tell me no? Nobody. Like,
yeah. So, again, what is stopping the SEC and the Big Ten from leaving? Like, what does the NCAA actually
optics?
Bring to them now?
Optics? I don't know.
Not good optics right now with schools and players can just skirt by any ruling you give. So
I want to say this, like, I don't think any of us are like prudish about gambling. Like a couple years ago when like
there is a line in
when
it's
pro
betting on your own team.
Yeah, like I have no problem with any athlete, college, pro, betting on another sport, betting on a ball or a strike. I really don't give a fuck about that. Like I'm glad that they loosened the reins on that, because that was kind of archaic, but there's gotta be a little bit of a line, like just a little bit.
Yeah, yes, there does.
And there's not. And
somebody has to put that in writing. That's the thing. And they haven't done it. And I don't know that they can do it.
I mean, they couldn't open an investigation into point shaving, at least, right? I mean, if he is on the team for a game, that warrants an investigation, right? If he bets on that game,
I think the feds would get in on it, right?
Yes, because that's like, and if by them skirting this and having him play, I think the feds should, you know, start an investigation to try to get, you know, because to try to stop this, because that is it's bad.
I think that is the line, because there is so much money riding on all of these games that if a player is actively playing in the game and has bet on the game, then that's like a federal law being broken, right?
Yeah, because who was the NFL player that got suspended?
Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
Yes. He's back, by the way.
It was a perfect... Yeah. But that was he served his suspension.
Yep.
And his
he was gone for a year plus.
No, but
that's fair to me. Like, that's fair to me.
Totally. But again, that is in the league's agreement with the players.
I know, but,
like,
so
that's the thing. Yeah.
Well, that's what makes this crazy by this judge. You could look at a case in the NFL, and this guy lost millions of dollars and had to sit out a year plus, and you're just going to be like, meh. I don't care. He can play.
Yeah, but again, like, show me where it was against the rules. Like, show me.
Yeah.
Show me. You can't.
Well, it is. It is. There's posters everywhere saying
don't gamble. Yeah,
don't,
sure.
Don't gamble. I mean,
yeah, but did Brendan Sorsby agree to that in his, like, scholarship that he signed, or his NIL deal that he signed?
Probably technically.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe. It should be in there if it's not.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're ultimately correct.
No, but it just goes to, because you could span generations. I mean, you could go back to, like, Shoeless Joe and the Black Sox. Jump ahead, you have Pete Rose. And then all through the 80s and 90s, you had kids shaving points and doing shit like that. And then you had Calvin Ridley. All of these people had repercussions. Some were extremely severe.
Yeah.
With a little bit of evidence for, like, Shoeless Joe.
Banned for life.
And I think I think people are upset that he's just getting away with it.
Scot-free.
Yep. Scot-free. Yep. That's the problem. And to not how can you not just be like, okay, you know, just take a step back. Let's suspend you for 4 games or 3 games. We're going to be playing 3 dog shit teams probably anyway. We'll suspend you for those 3 games, at least make the optics not look as bad.
Yes, I think Texas Tech should do that. But why would they? Like, again, why would they? Optics would be the reason. Like, but do they care? I think that's... So that's sort of what the judge did, right? He put it in the court of maybe the Big 12, maybe Texas Tech... maybe the NCAA, but again, I think the NCAA is hamstrung here. So somebody is going to have to step up and say, yeah, this is probably wrong. We should suspend him for this. And then, by the way, if they do, Sorsby can sue him. Because a judge literally said, like, he shouldn't get in trouble for it. So
nothing but Texas Tech grads.
What the judge said is, he goes, well, these penalties, they're pretty steep.
Oh,
he wouldn't be able to play.
Oh,
he wouldn't be able to make money. He's like, yeah, that's what the penalty is for.
Yes, I correct.
the fact that we're now in a point with college football, you know, in basketball, maybe, you know, college sports in general, where you could just find a judge who's like, well, you can't punish this guy. It would take away X, Y, and Z. And it's like,
that's the point. Yeah.
That's the point.
That's the, by the way, I brought this up when
Henry Ruggs is in jail because yeah. for a reason. Like,
it's,
and
it's a deterrent to belongs. not do it again. Yes,
I'm not trying to compare their sins there. I'm just saying, like, there's yes. Can you imagine a judge being like, you know, I think what Henry Ruggs did was abhorrent. It was appalling. I am aghast at seeing that he drove 158 miles at a 2-point, blood alcohol level and killed a woman
and
her dog.
And a dog.
By lighting him on fire, basically. Yeah. But you want to know what? I can't punish him because that's too punitive, because it will affect the way he can live.
He has children. Think of the children.
It'll affect his financials. It'll affect his partner. It'll affect his kid. Yeah.
That's the point.
That's the whole point of trouble. Yeah. Like, that's the point.
You know what it says about him that he would do this? Is that he's a shitty husband and a shitty dad, and he's a shitty human being. That's the point.
Sometimes there should be consequences. Yeah. Like, if Henry Ruggs got a DUI just speeding and didn't hit anyone, he wouldn't go to jail. But you want to know what? Like, that's the consequence for killing a human and a dog.
It reminds me, like, do you remember the Stanford swimmer case where he I brought this up in the Discord too. Like, he raped a drunk girl behind a trash can, and the judge is like, I'm not going to punish him because he has
not going to ruin his life.
He has such a promising future, and it would ruin his future. Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, the whole reason we got laws is to lock up motherfuckers who do this shit. Yeah, he had a bunch of promise, right? And he made the choice to rape somebody behind a dumpster. So that puts you in jail. Like, what the fuck are you even talking about, man? Lots of promising people are in jail. Because they broke the fucking law. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I want to make it clear too, like, I am making all these points, like, it sounds like maybe on behalf of Sorsby, like, I'm just saying, like, what the logic is here, but I think he should be punished. Like, he bet on his own team. You can't bet on your own team. Like, you just can't do that shit.
Apparently you can.
But, like, I want to make it clear that I think he should be punished. And I think it's right to have him punished. But I don't think there's an infrastructure in place that makes it legal to do so yet. And they better figure that shit out quick. Because it's not going to just be this. This is going to be, like, the start of way more, I think.
Well, you also had – you add in also of, you know, we said all the other schools are like, hey, we're going to stop scheduling Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And then you had fucking Wheelchair Willie come out here saying, oh, we're going to sue you if you try to deschedule games against Texas Tech.
Because that's a legal signed agreement.
Not only is he going to play, there is nothing you could do about anything. You're forced to play against Texas Tech.
Wild.
And I mean, us as football fans, I think football fans in general, let a lot slide from athletes.
It's
like,
baked into the cake. It
exactly.
Is.
And when a majority of them are saying this guy should not be playing, it's probably smart to listen to that, because people will argue about someone that beats their child or beats their wife and says he should play, but they have a problem with this. Like, there's the line has been crossed. We've already established it's not assaulting your wife or child. We found it is murdering a dog and a person. We found that line.
That's the line.
And this is this line. This has passed that line as well for football fans.
And can I just say that, like, what's so funny about the, like, rush, like, the need to play Brendan Sorsby is just this. The quarterback that Texas Tech is replacing, who everyone said sucked. That's the reason why they got blanked by Oregon in the playoff. Didn't score a single point. These were his stats last year.
Yeah.
And he missed a couple games. So, but here are his stats. 66% completion, 2,080 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks.
2,080 yards?
2,780.
Oh, 780. Oops, okay. I was like, Jesus, that's like 3 games for Dante. Like,
here's Brendan Sorsby's numbers.
Yeah.
61.6% completion percentage.
He's not good enough for this.
2,800 yards.
Yeah, he's not good enough for this.
A 20-yard pass over.
Yeah.
27 touchdowns, five picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and granted, his rushing yards, he's got like 500 mm-hmm. yards, whatever. Yeah. That's the better part, but they're not replacing him with a guy who is
this
like,
isn't Cam Newton coming in. I mean,
no.
Come on, it's like I no, don't
they,
get it.
But they made the investment. They paid him.
They made the investment. Well, yeah, they're paying him $5 or $6 million. It's insane. But yeah. good for them.
But I feel like this was a way for them to not pay him that money also.
There's your out. Right.
It's yeah. you had the out. Yeah. You could have killed this whole $5 million deal, which was insane to begin with.
It is but really nope. interesting the line Texas Tech has been writing on this too. That is another really interesting aspect of it. Like
really this only happens in Texas. Maybe a few SEC schools, Alabama, something like that. This doesn't happen for 90% of other schools. This isn't happening.
Yep.
90 so it really is a pure Texas thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think Dante Moore is getting an injunction to me.
No.
I think a judge in Oregon is like, I don't.
They care. Tried with Infali Dante and they laughed in his face.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. No.
You played 2 minutes over the limit. Sorry, bud.
Be gone, Buster.
Go have fun in the fucking G League.
Man. Yeah.
Matt, you're a two-way player.
Where Dante's at right now, he could lose it all. Like he could something could happen where he's just like loses his scholarship or whatever. He's so set for life already.
Like, yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Cover athlete on the college football game. He's got like Beats by Dre or whatever. He's got like that dude is on so many fucking ads. It is impressive.
I am intrigued that, you know, still a little bit of what I'm intrigued. The season's still a little bit ways away. I want to know how much like their first road game, like, are they going to start crying? Like, oh, the fans are so mean to Brandon Soresby. They're saying mean things to him. I know it's going to happen. And they should be just ruthless at him. I just can't wait for, because, you know, there's going to be a couple talking heads that are going to be like, people need to stop being so mean to him.
Just a college kid.
Yeah. He's just a millionaire college professional. Like, he's 24. We got to stop being so mean to these 24-year-olds. Like,
they need to go early, late 90s, early 2000s, pit crew level of like over the line level
or
shit.
Or the Astros. Like the Astros every time they would go to a city. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just every fan laying into this kid.
And
because you can't let him get away scot-free with just he plays, he gets all the money. You got to at least make something, some sort of damage to him.
European soccer. This. Sing songs. Yeah. Come up with songs and sing them.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. That's something college football, I think, is uniquely set up to implement is like singing songs.
Those
coming up
are
with
the
chants.
Dumbest like, things ever.
No, they're not.
Those Euro trash songs are so dumb.
They're fucking.
They're real dumb.
They're fucking hilarious. Some of them are hilarious.
No,
they're clever ways to call someone a piece of shit. And they sometimes flat out say they're a piece of shit, which is great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well,
if you're going to get paid $5 million a year,
extremely
to play,
racist things.
You're going to get paid $5 million a year. Like, you can get called a piece of shit by fans. I don't care if you are a college kid anymore.
Yeah.
Like, remember the shit back in the day where like people would boo Oregon players, and Canzano went on a big thing about like, oh, can you boo college kids? They're just kids, you guys. You can't boo them.
Why are you booing Portland State? You know you're going to beat them. That's what people fucking do.
Sports, you dumb shit.
Sports. Yeah, no shit.
What are you talking about? Yes, you boo.
Yeah, fucking Bob Welch article.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Hey, back in my day, kids in college got sent to war. Now they're just being mean at college games. And I didn't notice this at first. It took me like a week. The picture he shows on the top of his article is some fucking kid in a pink cast giving the loser L Fortnite emote.
Yeah.
How fucking out of touch are you that you think that is like the most disgusting and threatening? Some fucking dork with a broken wrist and a pink cast giving a Fortnite L forehead.
Doing Overwatch and Fortnite dances. Fuck out of here.
Shut up, old man.
Shut the fuck up. I'd say that even if it weren't Oregon. If it were somebody, I tell you what, if it's Oregon and Oregon State, and he's talking about Oregon State fans being like too rowdy and doing Fortnite dances and fucking call. If they're chanting bullshit and he has a problem with that, I'm like, dude, it's shut up. Like we're all literally grownups here. Like these are not children. They are grownups who now get paid to play this fucking sport. Shut up. Like they're not babies.
They make more than almost everyone. They make more than everyone in that fucking stadium.
And they're not, they're not children. They are used to having somebody call them a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay.
The whole thing about that article is like, I don't know how many visiting venues you guys have been to.
Crazy.
I've been to a few.
I went to UW. That was a good time.
I've had one really terrible experience, but every other experience, someone has told me to fuck off or eat shit or suck a dick. And I go, you want to know what?
Yeah.
That's what I get for wearing the other team's gear.
Fuck you,
in
too.
Your house.
Yeah.
Fuck you, too.
Bags of piss, batteries, everything.
Your team loses. And I hope your night fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I hope you get drunk as fuck because you're mad and your wife kicks you out of the house for the night. Like, that's sports, buddy.
Yes. Now the line there is a line.
Of course, there's a line.
I think the Bing Bongs are doing that shit right now. There's lots and lots of videos online.
Don't do physical assault.
Don't rip shirts off of people. Nope. That's not cool.
Don't go Boston fans. No racist shit.
Yeah.
Yes. And Euro trash soccer
don't
fans.
Don't physically assault anybody, but talk as much shit as you want.
Tell someone to fuck off. Like, if you're an adult and someone tells you, go fuck yourself, you just turn around and go, keep it moving, buddy.
Fuck you too.
Keep it moving. Yeah.
That literally, if I'm wearing like a Oregon shirt or something at an away stadium, somebody says, oh, fuck off, you bitch, or something like that. I'm like, yeah, fuck you too.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm not someone at Austin who sees an opposing fan.
Yeah, fuck me.
I never do the like, oh, get the fuck out of here. But if I get it on the road, that's fair. That's what I get. That's what I'm signing up for. Really,
you wear the jersey walking into the stadium. If not, you would wear like a neutral colored shirt.
You wear it in getting the jeers on the hopes that you walk out and you can go like this.
Yeah, you do that.
And you do that. Like, that's sports.
In the stadium, we just point at the scoreboard. You don't have to say anything.
Love that from Booble, the Hogan. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not
Hogan anymore. Maybe we don't do the Hogan anymore. Maybe if you smell what the Rock is cooking, maybe with the
I don't think it works as well, unfortunately.
With the people's eyebrow. Yeah.
The Hogan works the best, unfortunately.
It does. I know.
It does.
I know. Do we want to do a list?
Should we do our list?
Do we want to do one? Because we don't have one. Like I can look in our Discord and we can pick one and just do one off the top of our heads if we want.
Top three vanilla flavors. Go.
French.
Tahitian.
Bean. Vanilla bean's good. Vanilla bean is good. And
French.
Yeah, I said French. And the vanilla that's in Neapolitan, that's good.
Oh yes, it's a good one. Yeah, I think it's actually like a fact that vanilla is like the most complex ice cream flavor out there.
It actually is.
it actually is.
It's really good too. Like people,
I love vanilla.
Yeah, it's really great. It actually is very great.
I throw vanilla on like a apple pie.
Yeah,
it's fucking amazing.
Yes. No, that's
crazy. Seen how much those fucking beans cost nowadays?
Oh, it's insane.
Fucking insane.
The vanilla beans.
Open up the strait, Trump. We need our vanilla beans cheaper.
We got to get to fucking Madagascar and Tahiti. We need these beans.
I need my Neapolitan back at an appropriate price.
That's the that's the biggest thing to hit with inflation. It's fucking ice cream. You walk down the aisle, guys. Walk down the aisle. You ain't buying any of that shit. I'll tell you that much. It's like fucking $9 or whatever. Like, what are we... What's going on? What are we doing?
You might have to move. You might have to move on to like sorbet for the time being.
I get love that, sorbet.
Get that dairy.
I love sorbet
there.
As well.
Rainbow yeah, sorbet. Dairy.
Oh yeah,
sorbet's good. Yeah, or get one of those cake things that are like rolls or whatever. I forget what they're called.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I've only had like a piece of that once, and every time I see it, I want to buy it. It's like really aesthetically pleasing. So. But I haven't done it.
You eat with your eye. You eat with your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Totally. Or Viennetta. Is that it?
Viennetta. Viennetta.
Venetian. Vienetta.
Was it Viennetta like the 90s like dessert every mom bought?
Yeah. I was going to say even older. That was like an eight like with, 80s with the, and it with the, through the 90s. Cool,
not a butter knife, but the spreading knife. You know,
the spreading knife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to be a country of values where we had butter knives and spreading knives, and yeah, just don't have
on Sundays. On Sundays, Mama pulled out Viennetta from the freezer and we served it with the spreading knife.
That had that like real thin layer of chocolate on it, also, didn't it?
Which
would break looking at it because it was just such a thin.
Exactly. Again, super aesthetically pleasing. Like, by the way, you know where you can find a good spreading knife? Estate sales. I go to a lot of estate sales. You will find spreading knives at estate sales. Like, that is some old people shit.
How many utensils have you bought, Braga, at estate sales?
You know what? I get good knives at estate sales. It's a really good place to get like good, like solid, sharp knives. For cooking cutting up.
Do you flick it? Do you use your finger where you like flick your finger on the edge of the blade to know that, all right, that's going to have a good blade when
I find a random senior citizen and just like slice them on the arm. It doesn't take.
I was going to say
the spreading knife is going to cut that open.
A spoon.
Yeah. The bottom of a spoon is going to cut them wide open. Yeah.
Bleed like a fucking for 6 hours.
It's fucking weird. Like, I'm in my mid 40s now, and that's like a regular thing for me every Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is I look on Facebook, look for estate sales, and I just go to them, and it's fucking fun. I have a good time doing that.
There's a certain kind of people. I'm sure you run into the same people.
I do.
Different, you know, like, yeah. Hey, I saw you last week.
It's the same people who run them. There's like three companies in our area, and they all three or four, and they're you totally see the same people every single time. Yeah, it's wild. So okay, that's our list. Top three vanilla ice creams. Was that it? Was that actually the list?
Just vanilla.
Top three vanillas because we got a vanilla ice from Nutian in the chat. So there are more vanillas.
Vanilla.
I thought we've already done this because it would have.
The rapper? Yeah,
like, Robert Van Winkle?
Robert Van Winkle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already done this because it would have been like a Joel Prisbilla because he's a vanilla gorilla. Yeah, pretty sure we've done top vanillas already.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
just I'm throwing it out there.
I'm glad because it gave the illusion that we did a list and we didn't actually. So
you did this like a month ago. Oh, good question from Swoosh. Do you buy tchotchkes or, as he says, Hummel figures? Are you when you go there, the little figurines? They're the little like figurines that olds have. You know, like, oh, these are little angels or, you know, whatever the motif is.
I don't buy them.
You don't buy them.
I'm sure
you see plenty of them.
Dear God.
Do you see a lot of collector's plates?
Are there a lot of nativity scenes?
Yes. There's always a room. It's usually in the garage, but there's always a room with like the holiday decorations. And I went to one where the entire it was like an outdoor garage, so like really big one, and the entire
carport
thing. Yeah, I guess it's more a place where you put your like your tractors and shit like that, barnish. But like it was
going
full
to Anita for yards.
Actually,
actually.
Yes. Do that. Yes. There have been occasions where I've driven nearly an hour back and forth to.
how many times have you looked at a fucking vintage tractor and be like, you know what?
Hey, kick the tires.
Like, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Kick
maybe.
The tires.
That John Deere logo. That's a 70s logo. I might need to.
I got is like a little side swing around lawn, but you know what? That shit could knock it out.
A sit down mower might be fun.
No, but the barn, it was full of those angels, like literally just ceramic angels. It was like almost scary. Like you walk in and you're almost like, I don't need to be here, right? Right. I can leave at any point. Right. Like there's no. Like,
did you have to like go like as you're walking?
Yeah. 400 like... fucking angels. You cross yourself when you walk in. Yeah. So like it's hoarders and collectors and like olds collect the most worthless shit. Like they really do. Like and. I don't know. Like the trick is to go on like Sundays or half price days or whatever, but then you get
King, you just had to move all your grandma stuff out. Did you say like that wasn't too long ago?
Yeah.
Was she a tchotchke person as well with?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Worthless little trinkets and angels and nativity scenes and they're all white though.
Yep.
So I mean,
well, of course,
She was
white.
She was of that. Yeah.
She was white.
There was no tan on the genius.
No brown
figure.
Jesus on the wall.
No. There was no DEI amongst the tchotchkes.
No. That was platinum blonde Aryan Jesus.
Yes. She had a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. It was weirdly white. It made no sense.
Hey, by the way, this goes back to the Sorsby. Free Ipe. You know, free
yeah,
Ipe.
Exactly.
That's a real takeaway from this podcast.
What did he do wrong?
Yeah exactly that. Okay, let's call it. So Sunday is our movie, and it is Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. It is on Peacock. So watch that. Listen to us talk about it. Find us in the Discord, Sports Brewery Discord. Yes.
Real quick, Booble just dropped. Family friend's grandma collected coffee makers. Legit had like 30 unopened boxes.
That's what's
up. I don't know if coffee, like maybe I could see like vintage, like a French press or some like vintage coffee maker.
Yeah.
Sure. But not new in box coffee maker. That seems like a collectible.
Mr. Coffee and Nespresso.
Mr. Coffee things. Exactly. It's like, that's, yeah. I'm not sure if those are the best investment things.
19 Keurigs boxed up in her garage. No.
Hey, don't delete the Jesus loves you person. Don't do it, mods.
Nope.
Don't do it. Let the Jesus loves you person stay. First time chat. Hello, Trevor. And the same to you. Yeah.
Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's what Jesus would do. White Aryan Jesus.
Amazing. He drops in there when we start talking about that. Jesus.
Perfect timing. I know. Okay. So that's it. Again, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. Watch that on Peacock. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.